Good morning and welcome to the Federal Election Commission's first open meeting of 2019. Those are words I'd planned on saying much earlier this year. The shutdown has meant that we start the year off already behind in fulfilling our important mission. The 2020 presidential election is already underway. I seem to read about a new candidate throwing her or his hat into the ring every day. If past elections are any guide, the upcoming election is almost certain to involve the raising and spending of billions of dollars. The FEC's job is to ensure that the public knows where all that money is coming from and where it goes. Congress has required this campaign finance transparency as a protection against the potentially corrosive influence of money in politics. The Supreme Court has upheld it as critical to ensuring an informed citizenry empowered to hold our public officials accountable. The FEC thus performs a vital anti-corruption mission in our democracy. I believe in the work we do here, and I'm proud to take the agency's helm at this important time. I do so with a positive attitude, tempered by experience. We are able to do this important job through the dedication, hard work, and public service of each and every employee of this agency. I say to all of our staff, welcome back. I am very glad to see you all. And I'm glad to welcome back some new attorneys who hung in there and were supposed to start during the shutdown and were unable to do so, but still showed up for work once we were able to get up and running again. Thank you. I am painfully aware of the hardships imposed upon you, our staff, and your families by the shutdown, and I am grateful to you all for your continued service, and I know I can count on you to help us catch up and move forward. We have our work cut out for us. We must continue to confront ongoing attacks on our democracy by foreign adversaries. Aggressive actors are constantly innovating new ways of hiding the sources of political money. We have hundreds of cases on our enforcement docket, 326 to be precise, over 50 already imperiled by a looming statute of limitations. We have to keep up with the review, processing, and disclosure of an ever-increasing volume of political activity. We're starting late, we have a lot to do, and I'm going to push hard to get it done. But it's going to take the sustained cooperation of every member of the commission if we are to make real progress. There are cases that have languished too long, there are cases that have been held up, and that's got to stop. I'm pleased to be serving in a leadership capacity this year with my colleague, Matt Peterson. This is the first time we've served together as chair and vice chairman. We have a very cordial relationship, and Vice Chairman Peterson has assured me that he's prepared to work with me to try to get the work of this agency done. I believe he's a man of his word, so let's get to work. As I look forward to the coming year, in addition to tackling our enforcement backlog, I see some opportunities for bipartisan action. There are issues where I believe we can find common ground. I would like to see us move forward to take stronger measures against scam PACs. We should not sit idly by while bad actors siphon off money that American citizens thought they were donating in support of their favorite candidates. I believe my colleagues share this concern. I continue to hope that we will be able to come to consensus on new rules for internet advertising disclaimers. The process got a little stalled towards the end of last year, but I intend to light a fire under it and see if we can't get it done. The FEC is already a hub for information. As chair this year, I want to provide a space for serious discussion of the important issues facing our democracy. To that end, I will be inviting provocative and thoughtful speakers to come to the FEC and share their perspectives with us and with the public. And I will be organizing events to create opportunities for people to engage with other people who may be outside their normal silos. I had been hoping to launch some of this in January, and obviously that was unable to happen, so we're going to have two in February on the afternoon of February 21st. That day, I will be convening a panel to discuss how money was raised and spent during the 2018 midterm elections with fresh analysis based on the year-end reports just filed at the end of January. I'm delighted to announce that Sheila Krumholz of the Center for Responsive Politics and Michael Malbin of the Campaign Finance Institute, now part of the National Institute on Money and Politics, have agreed to come and share their latest research. They're two of the strongest experts in the field that I know of. So there'll be more details on that as we arrange it. And from 3 to 5 p.m. on February 21st, I'm going to personally host a reception for the campaign finance community here. Many of you haven't had the opportunity yet to check out our spiffy new building. Whether you're an advocate for fewer restrictions, a campaign finance reformer, or a journalist covering our beat, come on down and start a conversation with someone with a different perspective. I'll be sending out invitations soon to all those for whom I could find email addresses, but if you're interested in coming, please don't stand on ceremony. Everyone's welcome. Light refreshments will be served. They'll be light because I'm paying for them. But I really am looking forward to seeing a lot of people here and making some new friends and reconnecting with some old ones. I also see opportunities for progress outside this building. Vice Chairman Peterson has agreed to partner with me in going to Capitol Hill to meet with our oversight committees and appropriators to advocate for the FEC's legislative recommendations. Every year we send Ledge Rex over to the Hill, and we wait. And not a lot happens. So this year we're going to actually try to go and move the ball forward, which is I don't think we've ever done before. These recommendations have been carefully considered by the commission. They have unanimous bipartisan support here, and they deserve to get a full hearing by Congress. They're solid, common sense proposals. And if the notoriously gridlocked FEC can get behind these recommendations, perhaps there's hope for broader agreement. Some proposals would strengthen the FECA by extending personal use restrictions to all political committees, enhancing our ability to protect the public from scam PACs, and reinforcing the ban on fraudulent misrepresentation of campaign authority. One proposal would restore an FEC regulation that was struck down by courts, the regulation that prohibited aiding or abetting the making of contributions in the name of another. It wasn't struck down on constitutional grounds. It was just because the court thought we didn't have the appropriate statutory underpinning, so Congress could correct that. Some proposed legislation sounds prosaic, but would really help this agency run better by giving us the authority to create senior executive service positions. I believe we're in a moment when democracy issues have captured the public's imagination. The time may be ripe for progress. If you care about any issue, you have to care about campaign finance because campaign finance affects every issue, affects who gets elected and what gets enacted. The American people deserve the transparency about money and politics promised by Congress and the Supreme Court. I look forward to working with my colleagues and our terrific staff to follow the money and shed sunlight on our democracy. I'd also like to take a moment to thank the FEC staff who toiled hard during the shutdown without pay or have scrambled to catch us up once the agency reopened. This has been an intensely stressful and frustrating experience, and I am really so grateful to everyone. One of our key concerns about the agencies being shut down was that our computer systems had to remain secure. The FEC learned from the past on this, and this time we had 21 staff members involved in making sure that no intruder could breach our systems. And I sincerely thank all of those who worked hard and well without any pay to protect our systems and our data during the shutdown. I'd also like to recognize Greg Baker and Robert Kahn, who are our legal advisors who were still non-furloughed during the shutdown and helped give a lot of important advice that helped us sort of navigate what we could and couldn't do, the few of us that were not furloughed. I need to make a special thank you to Kim Humphreys, who kept my computers and email accounts working, without which I couldn't have done anything. So thank you, Kim. And I would especially like to recognize Alec Palmer, our staff director and head of IT, and most importantly, our furlough manager, who did his best to keep the staff informed during the shutdown and coordinated our recovery from it. I know Alec was one person who was not sitting twiddling his thumbs during the shutdown. This whole wretched experience would have been a lot more difficult for our staff without that flow of information and assistance. So thank you, Alec. Once the commission reopened, we found ourselves, not surprisingly, buried in reports. Between the 30-day post-general filings that arrived during the shutdown and the year-end reports that everyone filed by the end of January, thankfully, once we were up and running again, our reports analysis division found itself with 17.6 million pages of reports to go through. This always astonishes and amazes me how many, the volume of material that our analysts manage to go through. They are incredibly efficient, and while they are backlogged, Debbie Ciccone and her staff dived right in, and I am confident they will work their usual miracles. So I thank you. And the last person I need to thank is someone who is leaving us. We learned very recently that our longtime head of enforcement, Kathleen Guth, is departing the agency. She's going to be a partner at Holtzman Vogel. joining some former FECers, like former Commissioner Tom Josefiak and former EA Mike Bays, good friends of the FEC. I'm sure that she's going to do great work at Holtzman Vogel, and she is leaving us some big shoes to fill. Kathleen joined the FEC in 2002, even before I got here, as a staff attorney, and stepped up to serve as acting enforcement chief three times before being named to the job on a permanent basis 2 years ago. Before joining the FEC, Kathleen worked at Arnold and Porter in the Federal Programs Branch at DOJ Civil Division and is a graduate of Boston College and Cornell Law. She obviously came here extremely well qualified, was an incredibly dedicated public servant, and worked very hard every day for the FEC and the American people. So we wish you well, Kathleen. We will miss you, and we know you will be very successful and give your clients great advice. So if they mess up, it'll be on them. That concludes my opening remarks. I want to say a word about the agenda, which looks short and is actually even shorter. The Audit Division Recommendation Memorandum on Tony Cardenas for Congress, we have been asked to hold this over due to unforeseen illness on the part of our staff. Seems to be a bit of flu going around in audit, so we wish our staff a quick and speedy recovery, and that will be back on the agenda at the next meeting if it is not resolved before then. The proposed final audit reports, both for Friends of Eric Paulson and for Marsha Blackburn for Congress, were resolved on tally. They were approved by a tally vote of the commissioner. So we have nothing more to discuss on that, which leaves only the draft notice of availability on Reg 2018-05, size of disclaimers in TV ads. And for that, Mr. Vice Chairman, we need a motion.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move to suspend the rules on the timely submission of agenda documents in order that the Commission may consider agenda document number 19-04-A, the draft notice of availability on Reg 2018-15.
Any discussion on the motion? If not, I will call the question. All in favor say aye.
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 First motion of the new year passes unanimously. Thank you. Mr. Buckley, what can you tell us?
Agenda document 19-04-A contains a draft notification of availability for a petition for rulemaking submitted to the Commission by Extreme Reach, a company that manages the distribution of commercials to TV broadcasters. The petition asks the Commission to revise a regulation regarding the size of letters in certain television ad disclaimers. The notification seeks comment on whether the Commission should commence a rulemaking based on this petition. The comment period will run for 60 days following publication of the notification in the Federal Register. After the comment period has concluded and after the comments have been considered, the Commission may decide whether to initiate a rulemaking. I'm happy to answer any questions you may have.
Does anyone have any questions for Mr. Buckley? Doesn't look like it. It is rare that you hear someone asking for finer print. The print's too big. But we'll see what the public has to say about this petition. Do we have a motion? Mr. Vice Chairman.
Yes. Thank you, Madam Chair. I move that we approve the draft notice of availability on Reg 2018-05, the size of letters and disclaimers set forth in agenda document number 19-04-A.
Is there any discussion on the motion? If not, I will call the question. All in favor say aye.
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 Well, I heard four ayes, so there can be no noes. The motion passes unanimously yet again. Of course, all of our motions have to pass unanimously these days. And that concludes the formal agenda. Mr. Palmer, are there any management or administrative matters to discuss?
Madam Chair, there are no such matters.
Thank you, Mr. Palmer. With that, the first meeting of 2019 is adjourned. Stay tuned for future developments. And do come to the party on the 21st.